Happy New Year. What a relieving thing it is to say, and kind of cathartic. Let me say it again. Happy New Year. Of course, as the church, we began a new year in Advent in December. There's just something different about saying it in January when everyone else believes it's a new year too. There's something that happens in our collective unconscious that yearns for January, for the start of a new year. I can't tell you how happy I was to go to the grocery store and hear the clerk say, "Happy New Year." And then again at the car dealership, when I was ready to discuss a problem, I was greeted with, "Happy New Year." I immediately felt my shoulders relax and a smile come on my face. We need to hear that it is a new year. As I was writing this sermon on Epiphany, January 6th, I didn't get far before I was interrupted with yet one more reminder of the darkness of 2020. The Capitol was stormed by a mob of Trump supporters. As I was pulled away to watch this utter disgrace and terrible, deeply saddening violence, I thought how 2021 doesn't feel much like a new year after all. Every time that I've finally begun to feel that we can move forward, we can begin to move into this new season of restoration, of healing, it seems that there's been yet one more blow, one more roadblock to impede moving into this new season. As the church, we are in some ways insulated from the world around us. We have our own community, language, trustworthy authority, history, buildings, finance, leadership. We may feel insulated, but we were not created to be isolated from the world. At Christmas, we receive the annual and blatant reminder of God's love for this world. In his love for us, we are reminded that he sent his only son, not to destroy the world or to send everyone to hell or to convince people that this world is a waste of time. He sent his only son into the world because he loves it. Because he loves you. Now, if you and I were God, we likely would have made a different decision. We wouldn't have sent our only child to suffer and die for ungrateful, self-centered, unloving people. But that's just what God did. He entered our broken world as a vulnerable baby. Because he loves this world, because he loves you. There are so many reasons we can offer ourselves to give up hope, to remain in the darkness, not to enter the light, this new year, this season of Epiphany. You and I have lived through a globally and nationally demoralizing year. 2020 brought with it so much damage and carnage that many of us have become stuck, unmoving, stuck in endless cycles of work, mindless activity, negative thinking, stuck in feelings of fear, loneliness, anger, sadness, stuck in the dark that has become so familiar, stuck like in a swamp of molasses. When the people of Judah returned to their homeland in Jerusalem after years of exile, they likely felt stuck too. Everything had been destroyed. There was nothing that they could recognize. It must have been very difficult to believe that there was any purpose in returning. Why did they do this? Why did they return to this wasteland, to this seemingly God-forsaken place? Yet here they were. They were brave to return to this unknown future and to leave behind what had become familiar and stable. Yet they weren't somehow special or righteous for doing this. They had, in fact, utterly failed to do the very thing that God had called them to do and to be, to care for the foreigner, the vulnerable, and the poor. They had arrogantly continued with their religious practices, but had failed to love their neighbor. They had failed and paid the price, but God had mercy on them and gave them another opportunity to live fully into their identity as the people of God. So the prophet speaks to the people. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord shines on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. The glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. God, in his mercy, comes to his people and shines on them. Everywhere else, there is darkness. But in this place, with these people, the light has come. A light that does not come from themselves, but the light of the glory of God. Many will be drawn to this light, bringing their gifts, and will praise the one true God. Some of this prophecy comes to fulfillment in their lifetimes, and some of it comes nearly 500 years later as the light of the world is born in a little town called Bethlehem. Astrologers east of Jerusalem see his star and are compelled to come and worship him. They travel for miles to find the king, to find the one they will worship. They bring with them gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The light of the world continues to shine, and those with eyes to see and ears to hear recognize and worship him for who he is, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And one day, Isaiah's prophecy will fully come to pass. The glory of the light of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, Jesus, will be undeniable. All will see his light, and many will come to worship him. The light in the darkness will be so compelling that many won't be able to resist it. This vision is inspiring. And for many of us, the next question that comes, or the next questions that come, are questions that focus internally. What's wrong with me that I don't feel inspired to shine this light? Who would look at my life and be attracted to it? Who would want their lives to look like mine? My life is a disaster. I am no better than anyone else. I don't feel that I have much light to share. I'm discouraged. How do I shine this light, and with whom do I shine this light? Now, the easy response is to say that this focus is all wrong. But if I were to say this, I would be quickly dismissing the very human questions that you have, and I would not be allowing you to join the ranks of every other God follower. Abraham, Moses, Naomi, Hannah, David, Esther, Jeremiah, Paul, Martin Luther, Mother Teresa, me, you. It's normal to feel inadequate because the reality is you and I are. Sometimes the worst example of what it means to be a Christian is right here. If we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that we have been more concerned about ourselves than our neighbors, that we have treated our coworkers and our classmates better than our family because our family can't help promote us in society. This is why confession is critical. Though it is one of the most difficult things, it's critical that we're honest with God and with one another, because the truth is, everyone else can see it. Others can see the truth about us, and they can see the truth about the church too. Through the centuries, we, the church, have done incredible damage to others and have striven to attain power instead of giving it up, laying down our power for love of others, emptying ourselves, having the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who, though being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is what the secular world is dying to see. Humility, honesty, and love. This is the light they will see and will one day give glory to God. Many of you know that one of my role models is my husband, Alec. He's got this attractive personality that seems to draw in everyone, and it drew me in too. But one of the reasons he's my role model is because of his gift to easily share about faith and about Jesus with secular people. The latest time happened just around Christmas. We were meeting a friend, and he shared with us that he didn't want to visit certain family members for Christmas. His dad had recently died, and his family didn't know how to talk about it. And it was especially painful. One of the family members was also a pastor who refused to step in and help alleviate some of the pain and just eliminate some of the conversation. He was clearly very upset with this uncle. What was interesting is that as I commented on my disappointment that this must have been for him, Alec pressed into the conversation by saying that most people don't know how to respond in times of loss, and that many pastors are a disappointment. Immediately, this friend jumped into the conversation with energy and talked about how he used to be a Christian and was no longer, after having seen countless examples of Christians, especially ones in authority, who were terrible examples, who are the opposite of examples as we ought to be as Christians. Guess how many conversations we had with this friend before this one? Zero. This was our first conversation with him. He clearly hadn't sought out this conversation, nor had we expected it, but he jumped into this conversation with the opportunity when he saw that there was an open door to talk about faith, a faith that he no longer claimed to have. We never know. And the truth is, we don't all have the same gifts. As much as I would like to have Alex's gift and have it rub off on me, I will likely never have this same exact gift to readily open the doors of faith conversations like he can. But I can watch, encourage him, and practice his gift. As much as I want his gift, that is not my gift. I've been given other gifts. Maybe you've been given Alex's gift or a different one. You've been given the gift of service or of encouragement, of hospitality, mercy, faith, finances, art, discernment, prayer, leadership. The possibilities are endless. Scripture lists just some of the gifts. And the goal of all of this is that we are on the move, that together we bless the world, that Camden Avenue and our neighbors are better because of St. Timothy's Lutheran Church, that those who thought they were forgotten are treated with dignity and respect. The goal is that the light of Jesus shines through us together. Happy New Year and happy Epiphany, St. Timothy's. May we be filled with the light of Jesus that all may see, no matter how dark it may be around us. Rise, shine, for your light has come. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for your love for us and for this world, that you did not desire to condemn us, but to save us through Jesus. We thank you for the encouragement of Isaiah, that we have something to offer the world. We pray that this light that you have given to shine on us would spread to our neighbors, that we would be the best neighbors, that our neighbors would know us as the church who loves them. Encourage us even as we recognize our frailty, our sinfulness, our shortcomings. Be with us. Help us to be honest. And may Jesus shine through us together, that all may see your light, the light of the world, that you may receive glory and honor and praise. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.